For his own good, tell Bruce Lee and the Karate Kids none of us are carrying automatic weapons. Because here, in this country, it don't add inches to your dick. You get a life sentence for it.
No law, trash hog!
It is the Hungover Tribute, Irish Tribute, to Tom Benson on NOLA Trash Talk. I'm the Prophet Joshua.
And I'm Steve McGeezy.
Shane O'Mac.
Got Shane here for this show. This was St. Paddy's Weekend in New Orleans. It is March 18th, 2018. 186 NOLA Trash Talks. Irish music for the intro, of course, as appropriate. That was Thin Lizzy for you. I do sometimes maybe appear on the local classic rock station, and they do U2 as the Irish music for St. Paddy's Weekend.
Wow.
And I don't understand that at all. U2, yes, is from Ireland, but we all know there's famous Irish jingles that U2 writes. How many bars on St. Paddy's Day are cranking Where the Streets Have No Name?
Oz, Bourbon Pub, you know.
What? U2's a gay band now?
If you listen to them.
Yeah, well, never understood why we can't listen to more Thin Lizzy. That song is Emerald, about Ireland. What a notion to play a song about Ireland for St. Paddy's Weekend here in NOLA. I'm wrecked hungover. I have my pitcher of coffee here. Yesterday was the Irish Channel Parade, which had massive delays, apparently.
Yeah, what was that all about? Was it the people walking?
Ran in, like, weird chunks of the walking groups in front of the floats. Just to see the parade runs, it comes up. Comes up from Chopitoulas to Magazine Napoleon and goes down, and where we were, where most people tend to hang out around the Bulldog and such, the floats did not hit us till easily 3 hours after the start of the parade.
No, because I was working all day. I work from 9 to like all day Saturday is subjective, but like I got done at 4. So I'm getting off of the Chopitoulas exit, and I'm going down. I'm like, the parade surely must be over.
Ha.
Wrong. Not even close.
I've talked to some people who did ride in the parade, and they said the front floats were done before they had even started moving.
Dude, I had to turn around, get on I-10 in downtown, and go all the way around.
Right, right.
And get off on a Carrollton. I really had to make a circle around the city to get home.
It's a Mardi Gras level of you can't move through uptown. It took me a half hour to get from Audubon Park to the Bulldog 2 hours before the parade was scheduled to start because of uptown traffic.
Yeah.
In an Uber.
And I was about to burn something down because I was like, there's no way there's a four-hour parade.
It was longer than 4 hours.
Well, I mean, like,
the front walking groups of the parade were done, and the floats hadn't rolled yet.
Why was that? Do you know?
I've not gotten
Wait
any...
Wait, so are the people walking, are they walking... they're walking first.
If people don't know what we're talking about, it's a big Magazine Street Irish parade. Catch potatoes and cabbages. It's like Mardi Gras. It's a very green Mardi Gras. Right.
So the jerk-offs and the tuxes that are giving out roses to broads, where are they?
I think they were in the front. I saw those guys walking past us hours before we ever saw a float.
Really?
It was a huge gap.
I thought that they were holding up the entire parade.
No, because stuff was passing us. We were headquartered right next to Bulldog for the chunk of it. Shout out to all the bartenders who had to work yesterday and pour green beer and Guinness for hundreds of thousands of people. Jesus. They looked miserable, all of them.
Yeah, I mean, it is miserable.
I tried to be as nice as possible, tip as much as I could.
Yeah,
but that's a rough.
Did y'all see Diamond Dave in the parade?
I did not. Diamond
Dollar Dave.
David Lee Roth was in the parade. I don't think so.
You call it Dollar Dave now.
It's Dollar Dave.
Once again, as by the time the floats are passing where we were, I would not have remembered to look or recognize anybody.
He kept saying that he was in a float, but I don't know if y'all saw him.
So it was weather held off. Didn't really rain.
Yeah,
it was kind of like very European weather for the parade.
It like sprinkled a little bit.
It was sunny, kind of sprinkling back to sunny.
It was pouring in mid-city.
Warm.
It was pouring on the West Bank where I was working. I was like, son of a bitch.
The heavens spared that little slice of uptown for the parade.
Couldn't believe it.
Yeah, that was again.
Here's a parade life hack though, for using a bathroom on the parade route. that back door, that side back door to balcony bar, you can walk right in there, use the bathroom, don't have to walk through the bar area.
Oh, wow.
No line.
That's clutch.
Compared to the lines of the Bulldog, which we were mostly using.
The
clutch thing would be having a house party.
Right.
So you have a bathroom. That would be the clutch thing. But if you don't, that balcony bar bathroom has its own, like, entrance that you don't even have to walk through the bar.
Was there somebody, like, sitting there carding people?
Nope.
That's crazy.
It was crazy. Somebody messed up on that one. But it worked out.
And the door was open.
Door was open.
Wow.
That's nuts.
Okay. So other than St. Paddy's Day mischief, we predict.
Wait.
Well, you want to? I'm not going to move on yet?
Okay. No. All right. No.
Well, okay. Let's continue.
All right. So I am working all day, and my wife had two people in town from Boston, and she took them out to the parade, which is great.
I ran into your wife several times.
Yes.
I didn't see her with friends. Boston people.
Right. She definitely was.
No, I saw her. Whatever. Continue.
So, so they're out there, and I start getting.
What do Boston people think of the
They loved
St.
it.
Paddy's
it was
parade?
Great. It was just, like, long day for them, you know. They're fun.
Just going around, just getting, you know, gin and tonics and stuff, you know, annoying every bartender.
Yeah. But, so I get a text, and you were on this group text, Josh, and it just says, hey, Steve, meet us out. Bring ideas and some form of currency.
What does that mean?
Now, you have to sit back and you're like, bring ideas and some form of currency. Does she mean real ideas, like she doesn't know what to do and she has no money? Or does she get in a car and not bring her ID and currency? And the latter is the fucking true story. You've got to be shitting me.
Was she pre-gaming?
No.
Wow. So she's sober left.
She's
all
not
her shit.
Drinking for Lent.
This is.
Wait. What?
Yes.
This is Diet Blitzkrieg.
She's not drinking for Lent.
I did not realize or have forgotten from yesterday that your wife wasn't drinking.
Not drinking.
I guess that makes sense.
So I'm like, you got to be shitting me. So I'm like,
she's not drinking. She texted me the other night about going out in the quarter to the dungeon. On a Thursday.
Sober.
Right.
She wanted to go hang out at the heavy metal French Quarter bar at the dungeon.
She was with her friend from Boston and her
sober.
Friend.
Where all the bartenders are hookers.
Yeah.
Sober.
She.
That's what she wanted to do.
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't get it.
Lent does crazy things to people.
I don't know. So I am like, I'm in my office. I'm like, wait up. Do I have to go all the way out to Lakeshore?
That's like wanting to go to F&M sober.
Right. Get a piece of paper. And then go all the way uptown. So I got to ride back to the house. And
did you go to the gold mine sober?
No, you can't never do that.
Apparently, all things are off the table. What a
horrible.
Picking up Brittany, I've done it twice.
Other than picking up somebody, I mean
going in there, like spending time in there with Brittany to pick her up and bring her somewhere. Like I've spent time in gold mine for about 30, 45 minutes sober, and it is the worst. The absolute worst.
Why would you do that to yourself?
Ugh, never again.
Okay. Well, all right. That explains a lot from yesterday. You want to tackle anything else?
Oh, yeah. Oh, okay. Absolutely.
Here we go.
So I, you know, dead sober, meet up with everyone at around 5-ish at Miss May's. Do you recall this?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I did.
So,
I remember everything from yesterday. I'm not paying attention, though.
It's okay. So Miss May's get there. Fine. It's like 5-ish, 5:30-ish. And I see, you know, the usual suspects. We have the Prophet. We have St. Christopher. We have Demanda.
The Prophet at St. Christopher. We've got a biblical biblical crew.
And then we have my wife and her friends, which is great. Saw Shelly, which is great. Haven't seen him in a while.
Maze was pretty empty for
and it was empty.
Parade.
It was great.
Yeah,
I had a couple of drinks. I was like, loving life. And someone was crop dusting the fuck out of that bar.
Didn't they have the door open? Wasn't everything?
It was no, it was closed.
Okay.
Someone kept ripping.
I'm glad you remember
like
this.
Some of the most rank farts ever. Hold up, this is the only reason I remember it. After the second one, my wife turned to me and she goes, "Yo, are you farting?" I wanted to open hand slap her. I was like, "Oh, I'm sorry." The guy who's been drinking water all day at his desk, and
well, your poor wife's had a sober nose,
right? And came out to the bar. Like, and everybody else in the bar had been drinking green beer. I'm like, the first person you thought that was crop dusting was me? I'm so pissed.
What's the more Irish thing to do? Green beer or Guinness?
Guinness.
Because I just drank Guinness all day.
Yeah, Guinness, yeah.
Okay. Well, yeah, green beer.
Green beer is just Bud Light with fucking coloring in it.
Yeah.
It's disgusting. Ugh.
So I was like, and it was so rank that, like, my nose, like, my olfactory sense is gone because you just spent so many years in locker rooms that it's like, it's gone. But the rankness of the crop dusting that was going on was even bad for me. I had to step out of Miss Mays.
Glad this is your lasting St. Patty's memory.
Yeah,
St.
Patty's beer fights.
So then I'm like, all right. So everybody's like, let's go to parlays. Let's go from the river to the lake. Okay, great. So profit and I don't know.
I'm used to this line being that I want to hang out uptown because that's close to where I live.
Right.
So it's easier. So when I hang out with Lakeview people who say, all right, I'm going to get an Uber and go home. That only means they're going to parlay.
Yeah, exactly.
Home. So I'm missing one more bar on the way home.
Right.
I think, oh, they're going home. I'm going to go home. No. Everyone's going out without me. That's what that means.
That's exactly what was going on.
So I have to like correct everyone. It's like, no, we're going to Uber back to Lakeview. So you're going to parlays.
Right.
So if I want to keep going out, I should go with y'all.
That's correct.
Which is, yeah.
So, of course, we go to parlays, and the Prophet and I were having a conversation at Maze. And then we met up at Parlay's about an hour and some change later. Like, there was a decent like pause there. I think you went to go deal with some dogs or cats, somebody else's house.
Right.
Okay. So the Prophet and I had a conversation at Maze. We revisited said conversation at Parlay's as if it never happened. And that made me so happy. Because that's how I knew you were having a good time.
Well, yeah, drinking all
no,
day.
No, I know. I thought it was
good
funny.
Kind of drinking all day. I didn't black out like last year.
Okay. The big takeaway from Parlay's was this.
I'm always hammered at Parlay's, too.
Yeah.
I've never. That's always the last stop.
We're in March Madness right now. The NCAA tournament is going on. Okay. This group of bros, at least 10 of them, were screaming at the NCAA wrestling championship.
Steven,
on
they were
TV.
Drinking all day. Everyone was drinking all day.
It's the wrestling championship.
I remember watching
it. It was
on TV.
Bros yelling at other men molesting each other.
Right.
In tights.
You had a terrible day.
Yes.
You didn't enjoy a single.
It took everything inside of me not to be like, oh, this is where he sticks his D and his A. The reset.
I'm sure one of those hardcore wrestling fans that you were yelling at
or
observing would be very appreciative of such a great original wrestling joke.
Because they're probably some of them.
Those men touching each other.
And the video of Sam Roberts.
Yeah, that was hilarious.
Yelling at that wrestler the other night.
But this is the NCAA championship wrestling, like college. Like, so it's like legit wrestling. And the place that they were in, I think it might have been Indianapolis, but wherever they were, was freaking packed.
I've
sold out.
I love the irony of life that the your favorite thing in the world, college basketball, coincides with your career so greatly, and it's in your absolute busiest worst season. So
yes.
You picked a career that goes right against your chief interest.
Life fuck.
But the best thing that he showed me today is that there is a boss button. If you watch it online, watch basketball, you press the boss button, and it creates a fictitious PowerPoint thing.
Yeah, nobody was getting any work.
It's so awesome.
No one was getting any work done in offices around the country.
Oh, my
right?
God.
I could hear conversations in the many offices I visited. I was at the Baby Cake Stadium walking through their office to go get some spare parts for my job, and I heard people like explaining to other people how to fill out brackets.
So I was just thinking
I wanted to tell other people who I don't work with to get back to work.
it's really serious. I was just thinking while I was watching guys yelling about wrestling, when have I ever watched a basketball game, and I love college basketball, you know this, where I have been like yelling at the TV like these guys were.
Even if you're drunkest, though?
No. Out of the, like, my own home, that's different. Out of that or in somebody's home where we're all like, I don't think I've ever yelled that loud. These guys are like, it's 2 points. It's 2 points. Not one, two.
I will say, I don't think I've ever heard.
I was like, I don't.
Outside of your own home.
Football games are different.
That's different.
Yeah, football games are different.
That's how you know you're scraping the bottom of the barrel with sports when it's college wrestling on the bar TV.
So the moral of the story is,
people just got to watch
something. They were so intense that I ended up watching Man on Man Love. I ended up watching it with him. Well, I was like, I got to watch it now.
It wasn't so bad for you, huh?
Yeah.
Well, you know, you were at a bar. you were at a bar.
A fag over here.
You were at a bar with your wife. What would you rather do? Hang out with your wife or watch pro wrestling or college wrestling at the
bar? Well, let me say this. That is how bad the Florida-Texas Tech game was.
Okay.
That I was watching fucking college wrestling.
Yeah.
And I'm videotaping these assholes, and I'm texting it to Tom, like, hey, look at the bros yelling about wrestling.
You videotape these strangers?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, creepy.
These fucking homos. UPS. Shut up! No one cares.
UPS and FedEx deliver packages.
We should put that video on the Trash Talk page.
We should. The funniest part about the video is
a video of guys watching sports at a bar.
Oh, my God.
This better be hilarious or you've
like,
over...
Football
is, like, understandable because, like, it's football, you know?
I'm not going to share the video on the Facebook page unless it's funny. No. If it's just guys yelling at a TV.
I got to get back and get a video of Dan yelling in a bar, and there is nothing funny.
You guys,
it's ridiculous.
Guys, with yelling at TVs at bars.
I know. No, it's... But I'm saying is like
Steve yelling at a TV at your house.
The refs can hear you. You don't understand.
Right. I know. Again, in my house, I don't yell at TVs for basketball, but like I will be a little bit more verbal. That's all I'm saying. Anyway, so that was a little bit of diatribe. I apologize. Let's move on to the bigger story that, in my opinion, is the worst story ever. Fucking who gives a shit about the Crypt Keeper? Tom Benson.
Oh, wow. Okay. Rest in peace, Tom Benson. We kind of knew this was coming since he went in the hospital with the flu. What, you know, 90-year-old guys don't stand up to flu.
Beware of the Ides of March.
Beware the Ides of March. You're making me screw it up.
Brutus is coming.
No. E tu, Brute.
I'm sorry.
Yes. Tom Benson was stabbed in the back by the flu.
It was a pneumonia.
Ammonia. Yeah, everybody... But that's the thing that kills everybody. Like, you go to the hospital for one thing, you got a weakened immune system, and then you get pneumonia out of nowhere because you're knocked so far down. It's just life kicking you in.
But really, like,
how long would you expect a 90-year-old guy to keep hanging on?
Yeah, but
okay.
And we knew it was coming. We talked about it on the show.
It's not tragic. He wasn't a young guy getting killed or anything. But
Shane O'Mac had a good talk with him and swears that he's a coherent man.
He is.
Well, yes.
I had a long conversation
with
him. That was almost a court case.
I had a conversation with him like 6 months ago.
Okay, so when he and his wife posed in the society pages for this one magazine, I don't know if we talked about this or not. He was wearing... like these raggedy ass shoes. His tux was wrinkled. He looked disheveled. And they put that picture in the Society magazine.
That's terrible.
It was horrible.
I think that's good. I think that makes billionaires more relatable.
I mean, I guess so.
You can't fucking iron your goddamn pants?
Dude, if I had $1 billion,
somebody else would do that shit.
I guarantee you, Steven.
But then someone else should. That's what I'm saying. They should be ironed.
Steven, if I was a billionaire,
have to be by you.
I would still have wrinkled clothes. I promise you.
A wrinkled tux?
Probably.
No, you would not.
Yes, I would.
A wrinkled tux.
I care so little.
He can't do that himself.
No, I'm not talking about him. It's anybody.
Yeah.
Like, you didn't have your tux pressed before a photo shoot?
Would
you care, really, when you have all that money?
I guess.
Or asset, not money, assets.
But that's what I'm saying is that I think, like, he's a little, you know, fucking cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, all right?
Okay, on top of mental faculties just, like, waning in your later years... Don't you think that if you've had a lot of money for so long, and you know, you're 85, you're 86, you're 87, at some point, on top of your maybe not being so sharp, you also just really stop caring.
Yeah, but, like, he doesn't dress himself. Someone else dresses him.
That can't be.
Yes.
I mean, other than being an old man, 90. Don't give him 2 bonus years. So everything, basically, we losing Tom Benson. He held on just long enough for Drew Brees to get a new contract.
Oh, God.
I don't know if that's part of the game, but...
I mean, look, without him, you wouldn't have any sports franchise in the city.
Right, we have to...
Ever.
He gets a lot of credit for keeping the Saints.
He should.
Not going to San Antonio.
Well, no, just like...
Steve swears that it was on the verge of happening.
Even before that in 85.
Right.
Just keeping the sports franchise in the city.
Why was there always a big push to go to San Antonio? Either of you been to San Antonio?
Yes.
It's terrible.
It's very small.
Why would you want to move? What market is there to, like, draw you from a place like New Orleans, which pretty much operates as the pro team for the entire Gulf Coast?
It's kind of like Oklahoma City. Like when they got their franchise, the Thunder, every Thunder game is sold out. Like you cannot.
That's Oklahoma City.
Exactly. But San Antonio already has the Spurs, and they're already really attached to them. So, like, bringing an NFL team there would not be the best thing in the world. But if there was an offer on the table, like, business-wise, I understand. You know, I'm just recalling.
Why would you bother moving? Why not have an expansion team? Why don't they just do that instead of shuffling teams around? I feel like even if your franchise is failing, like if you're right. The St. Louis Rams, you would still. Here we are talking about sports. I don't want to make it a sports thing. It's a city versus city thing.
I mean, it affects New Orleans a lot, though.
We're fine, obviously. Gail Benson is now in charge of everything, and she's not.
I think the governor or this Louisiana legislator stepped in and said, you need to keep him here because at the time, Louisiana owned the Superdome. What the fuck are you going to do with the Superdome if you don't have the Saints there?
Oh, yeah.
That was going to be a problem.
At that point, you're definitely hurting.
That's going to be a real problem. So I think that when he was like, I'm going to move, that might have been a power move to say decrease the rent.
I mean, at this point. At this point, the Saints aren't going anywhere. The Pelicans aren't. They might be in a little bit of turmoil. Not so much the Saints.
I think I speak for everyone where if the Pelicans left, it would be eh. Really?
Yeah, I mean, you want to keep them.
No, it wouldn't. You wouldn't notice. In 5 years, you wouldn't notice the NBA team's gone.
It would just suck.
You know how many people go to Pelicans games even if we're winning?
Do you know how well the Pelicans are doing right now, though?
Yeah, even so, it doesn't matter. I feel like there's no groundswell of Pelican support.
There's not.
There's a little blip after football's over.
Yeah.
Because people, you know.
But things build on each other. Like, this is the best the Pelicans have done in their entire franchise.
Okay. Well, I mean
It's just interesting how, even if you're right, even if we had a baller ass squad, which I think we do, and people still would like it, still wouldn't be sold out to capacity, which sucks. However, when we have playoff games here,
well, that's different.
They are fucking sold out.
Yes,
and that is like
right now. This is what I got, you know.
And that is the point of it.
Saint Patty's Green. Shane?
Yeah, it's when the Hornets played the Lakers.
That's the point of it, is to get in the playoffs, to get at least two home games that are just fucking packed.
And if we still have a team here, we can host all-star games and stuff like that.
That's the other thing, too.
Generates a lot of revenue.
And that's money for you.
You should like that.
I understand. My initial point here was that I think when we're celebrating the life of Tom Benson, we're going to go into his life detail by detail here in a second. I think he gets a little too much credit for that whole, like, keeping the Saints in town.
I don't give him any credit.
Shane gives him a lot. You give him
zero.
Zero. And I'm just saying it's a little overhyped a bit. And it could have been he bluffed the city.
I'm saying it wasn't like some, like, philanthropic move.
Right.
It probably was a power business move, which, okay, I credit him for that. But it's not this, like, the Saints need to be here, da-da-da, like.
If he didn't buy them the year of your birth, they might not have been here.
No.
Okay,
so. It's all hypothetical.
Now, how did Tom Benson come to be Tom Benson? What do you know about him?
He, oil money, huh?
He's a car guy,
yeah.
Grew up in the 7th Ward, poor as Job's turkey, and then, you know, got a couple of used car sales.
Yeah, his first dealership move was in San Antonio in 1956, it came from there. 62 became Benson Chevrolet. I've always wondered, when I lived in Los Angeles, one of our wealthy businesses that we covered for my job I did at the time for a newspaper wasn't also a local, like, massive multimillionaire billionaire who just owned car dealerships, and I just was kind of wondering how do you? It seems like that's like an express lane if you want to be if you want to go from zero to billionaire is car dealerships, which doesn't make any sense to me because it seems like it's very expensive to get into. You're not going to like your mom and pop shop dealership. I don't know how that explodes. But anyway.
I mean, it's so amazing. Just to think about a guy who grew up poor, died almost worth $3 billion.
Yeah. And
so he was in the car game for 30 years and then bought the Saints in 85.
And he was in the banking industry too. Surprise, fucking surprise.
Yes.
He purchased several small southern banks and formed Benson Financial and then sold to Norwest Corporation in 1996. The fucking best time to sell to the fucking banks at the time.
Right. And yeah, and he said he became wealthy. This is a one-sentence summation. By investing profits from his automobile dealerships into local banks, which, of course, are gone now.
All gone.
Yeah.
So, like, he got out, like, right when the time was right.
My father on Facebook, everyone has, like, awkward dad posts. Like, Dad, you didn't need to put that on Facebook.
I don't.
One of the things he did do, because he's had to deal with running his own business for 30 or 40 years, he listed all the local banks that he has worked with since the mid-'80s that are gone. And he just rattled by his memory. He had like 30 banks gone, all of them. It's like, that says something.
Well, I mean, J.P. Morgan Chase. I mean, you can't like compete with the big boys at you know.
Right.
And even like Home Bank, it was like, and it went to, or excuse me, Omni. Omni was a big deal, and then we have a bad bank buyout, and then Iberia is like, let me get that. Iberia is a great example of a bank, a small bank out of New Iberia, Louisiana, that is a powerhouse now. But he was in the oil industry, in the oil business.
He happened to fall into the same success right when he got it. You know, you get Jim Mora on, you get your first
had that first little push in
like
the late 80s. 13
winning seasons while he was owning and
yeah, I mean, like, you know, he
was good. He got on right at the right time. So I guess it gives the illusion that he was the savior for the Saints. But, I mean, I don't know. I still think he did a lot.
No, and we're waiting to see what happens with Dixie, Dixie Brewing.
I'm not hating on him per se.
No, we're celebrating and discussing.
I had the opportunity to watch a playoff game in Tom Benson's suite, and it was awesome.
Right.
And that was great.
Well, that's just because there's a lot of free shit for Tom Benson.
It's a double suite. It's massive. The president of Loyola who's leaving is
when you're in the Superdome, the one elevator 7 is reserved for Benson,
yeah,
and all that, and it is the fastest, nicest elevator, and it's really the only way to travel in the dome during a game because those other elevators are completely locked up.
The dun-dun. Yeah, but I mean, he gave me a tie when the Saints won the Super Bowl. So,
that's pretty sweet.
Yeah.
Are you going to go to the viewing, public thing?
Fucks no.
Okay. All right. Cool.
If I can,
there's a public viewing for 8 hours.
Yeah. So if anyone, everyone listening, avoid Carrollton.
Yeah.
On Wednesday, that's like in between
from what 10
Earhart
to 7?
And Carrollton where the seminary thing is.
Yeah.
That whatever that
Notre Dame.
Yeah. Avoid that.
I don't know. I guess I'm just a Tom Benson apologist against people who think that they can hate on him because
we're not
of
hating on him.
I don't know. I just I think he did a lot for the city. The major philanthropist.
Right.
For the stuff like he donated like $10 million to Loyola so they can build that building.
Yeah, personal life, man. He did a lot of good for this city. He really did a lot.
They could really just move that statue from the dome over to Lee Circle.
That's what I'm saying. Make Benson Circle.
Right back to the monument thing, because we'll get on to the Mitch Landrieu book in a second.
Who would disagree with that?
Dead horse. No one. But I don't understand how, since it's been an empty pedestal, and we call it Lee Circle anyway, that we just didn't put a fleur-de-lis up.
What?
It could have been a papier-mâché fleur-de-lis, like a placeholder.
I think they should absolutely make it Benson Circle. I mean, like, that's...
Sure. I mean, the war profiteer that got that street at the World War II Museum... Andrew Higgins?
Yeah,
he got a street. So yeah, Benson Circle. But I'm saying if you just threw a fleur de lis up there, balloon, it didn't even have to be made of stone. You wouldn't even have to change the name to Lee Circle. It would be LIS Circle. But anyway, do you want to keep doing the Benson thing, or you want to move on to?
No, I'm fine.
Are you excited for the Amazon reviews of Mitch Landrieu's book?
Oh my God.
Because that's
got to... Can he just get pancreatic cancer?
Mitch Landrieu's on tour right now doing his book...
Two months to live.
In the Shadows of Statues. Yeah.
Fucking piece of shit.
He's making the rounds. He got a whole 60 minutes interview. He got
God.
Something...
He was a Cooper Anderson. Anderson Cooper.
Vanderbilt. Anderson.
Thank
Vanderbilt,
you.
Yeah.
I don't know who I hate.
He was on This Week with ABC. He said he's not considering a run for the presidency of the United States. Thank you, Mitch, for clarifying.
Thank you for letting us all know we already knew.
You let everybody down,
yeah,
Mitch.
Yeah, me too, Mitch. I'm not running for president either. Whoop-de-fucking-do.
Oh, my God. Put your head on a pool table.
Well, there's internet memes that have happened in the years past where Amazon reviews, people do joke reviews about things, and it becomes just like a...
Oh, were people goofing?
Well, yeah. Well, what, you know, wolf t-shirts or whatever becomes a long-running joke. So the Mitch, I'm looking at the Amazon page for his book. I'm like, man, once that thing's out for a few months, like, what are some of these going to say?
Oh, they're definitely
How many just
hard.
Like, you know, one star, like fake reviews from just people that don't like Mitch are going to fill that thing up? And how much is it going to be messed with that they don't show those?
Right.
And they do fake 5-star reviews.
Oh, yeah. I got
I'm
you.
I'm seeing, once again, like we predicted him releasing this book in the first place.
Yes. That was it. Now, that prediction I'll give you.
Oh, you won't give me the Benson death prediction?
Fuck no.
I predict that we're all going to die too, Stephen.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, congrats.
The book one was good.
Predicting his book a year and a half ago, I'm predicting there's going to be like a battlefield in that Amazon review section. And it may all not be legitimate reviews. I'm saying this could happen.
Yeah.
So I'm
going to
be watching this as the months go on.
That's why I
And I'm tempted to buy the book too and just, you know.
We're going to have a special show one day where all we do is read clips from the book.
I say we book a classic guitar player and we go to a bar and we just read it with classical music in the background.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God. is this an audio book? Please tell me he's doing an audio version.
Oh, man.
I'm sure.
We'll just play that motherfucker.
Dissect that.
I don't know, man. I don't think I could listen to him reading his own book.
Oh,
that,
yeah.
That would be
bad.
A lot of smug coming out of the speakers.
All right, then we'll read it. We're going to have a special show where half of the show is our favorite.
We're all going to do book reports.
Our favorite paragraphs.
I'm down. Oh, my God. This has got to be the worst.
So, yeah, March 18th. It comes out today, technically. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, the book comes out on the 20th. So he was on the show today trying to sneak a little presidential, like, hint in. That's dirty, Mitch. Don't do that. Please don't torture us with do you think Mitch has all three statues like in shrunken form in his trophy case? I like to think so.
Wait up. It says, okay, it says New Orleans mayor makes the case that the opposition to the Confederate monument removal was more powerful because of business interests. I now have to read the book.
Makes the case the opposite. Oh, because you want to know.
Yeah, why did they make it so much powerful? What business interests were there?
Do you think some super racist business owning families that run a bunch of shit in the city threatened Mitch?
They don't give a fuck.
Well, or are you saying Mitch invented
right.
this opposition?
Yeah, completely invented it.
He won the war on. Okay.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was I reading before? Oh, snap. Okay. Where's the article? Okay, this is the article that you posted?
Go down.
Read.
If this was an original quote from him, I swear.
Shayna Mack and I are reading this article earlier.
There was something about, like, this had to be, like, something he didn't know what was going on. But he was basically saying, like, this is just to distract the public.
Yeah, what was the...
We're glossing over this interview with Landrieu, what he did today.
He's such a
man,
fraud.
This gets really political in a way that's not fun to talk about on the
oh,
whole
it
trash
says,
talk.
Okay.
Here it is.
It says the whole point was to convince people that actually they won, and even in their defeat, it was a noble cause.
I'm
okay.
What was that in reference to?
The statues?
Yeah, like, keep going. You'll see the quote. It's after...
I'm like, there's no way he said that in front of a camera.
Yeah, because... No. Is this NOLA or is this a CBS article?
This is NOLA.
Okay, this is a CBS article that you posted on Twitter, and, you know...
I'm like, what the hell?
Yeah, like...
I don't even understand that sentence. Read it again.
All right, read this again.
I'm sorry. It seems like...
Okay, so this is a quote from Mayor Mitch's mouth. The whole point was to convince people that actually they won, and even in their defeat, it was a noble cause.
That's basically saying, like, everything is bullshit. That's what it sounds like.
So people who supported the statues and didn't want them taken down, they should still feel like they won, even though that's what he's saying?
I don't
What kind of psyop is this from Mitch?
That's what it sounds like. I mean,
I don't get it.
There's no way he said that in front of, like, the press. I mean.
Okay, well, I mean.
That would kill you.
I think he's already had a pretty rough political career.
That is pretty bad, though.
Yeah, tack that quote along with just saying
holy
it's LaToya Cantrell's problem.
Ugh.
Oh, yeah. Kick the can down the road. Kick the can down the road.
That's beyond kicking the can. That's giving the can to someone else. Say, you kick the I don't even want to kick the can.
Right.
You kick the can. I'm going home.
But, like, if you're going to give Landrieu a lot of praise for these monuments going down.
Okay, well, it's pretty cliche to rag on politicians. But since Mitch is so, like, brazenly bad at being a politician, other than being
so
born
bad
into his family,
ugh,
it's good to observe what exactly is happening here, because they all do this. And anybody who works 40, 50, 60 hours a week at whatever job you hate, a politician basically is just someone who gets his face out there enough that it creates an illusion of value. So then he can do things like write a book about – it doesn't have to be about statues. It could be about anything. He could write a statue about how, you know, making parks prettier places. And people will front him money and pay him to come speak at their college or do a TV appearance. And then – which everything he does, it creates more illusion of value.
Yeah.
And so at the end of the day, where you're a plumber or you're an electrician and you go to work, these people haven't done anything. But then they're charging $30,000 to go give a speech. And then as they climb the ladder, they can charge more money and expenses for doing nothing. It's a great magic trick.
Actually, the show Parks and Rec shows that a whole lot. They make fun of it.
Well, how do you mean? It's just artificially inflating personalities. Like, nobody cares to really hear Mitch talk about anything.
Like, Parks and Rec is a satirical show about how crazy and stupid government is. And they show it all the time.
But
it's hilarious.
But the thing is, like, he's so bad at it, and not bad, but clumsy. He's so clumsy with how he handles this and other problems with the city that it just brings to light how much smoke and mirrors a political career is.
Yeah.
Once again, this guy, he doesn't build things. He doesn't make things.
No,
he
does nothing.
Fix things. And yet he'll get paid a lot and be flown out to New York or whatever to give an interview and get the whole thing comped.
No, look, Tom Benson dies and he makes a speech. That's his career. That's what he does.
It just
he does nothing.
And I want to keep that in the front of the argument. I don't just want to bitch that politicians are corrupt. Da 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 da. It's more than just corruption. It's just bluffing value.
He has a last name and it's smoke and mirrors.
I bet you can't, like, I don't want to say can't trust, but you can't take anything someone says at face value when they don't actually do anything. It's like he's below the level of a consultant on telling people, advising them on how to run a business. Because he doesn't really, he's just a mouthpiece, and he's a really bad mouthpiece. Steven, what are you reading so intensely?
Sorry, I'm not reading.
Are you checking basketball scores?
Yeah. That's all good. Yeah, no, I was witness to his fun little sewage and water board the other day. This is yesterday. They were digging a fucking hole around the corner from here. This is Saturday.
Right.
There was 10 fucking people watching a guy dig a hole. I know that's like a cliche thing to say. I watched it happen. I couldn't take a picture of it.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Oh,
seven,
yeah.
Nine,
that's
ten.
Every construction job is one guy doing something, 10 guys
not,
watching.
Not as much as Orleans Parish. You just
maybe that could be a post mayor career for Mitch. Ugh. Standing around construction sites watching people. That would be actually a step up in his activity. People make fun of lawyers and stuff. We know lawyers pretty much run the world in their own small weird way. And people, there's like infinite lawyer jokes. But at least lawyers technically do actually do things. They have to. They actually have to go to court and like do a job.
No, lawyers do way more than
right.
Like a high profile lawyers do way more.
Think
than
if you're
Mr.
a high
Andrew
profile
does.
Lawyer and you say, all right, I don't want to practice law anymore. I want to get in politics and run for mayor. I wonder if there's a point where they're like, holy shit, this is easy.
Even someone like Morris Bart, who never shows up to court, has to do more than Mitch Landrieu has to do.
Yeah, at a certain
he doesn't necessarily do anything.
That's what I'm saying. Why doesn't Morris Bart just run for office?
Oh,
he might
my
as
God,
well.
He would never.
I know he's.
He would never.
He would never. But like, it must be such a shock of like, wow, I don't even have to know what I'm talking about. I don't have to.
Yeah.
In a court of law, I have to prove things I'm saying.
He's never been to court, though.
What?
He's never been to court.
He hasn't got to court.
All he does is show up on...
Well, that's he's a next level kind of...
He says show up on screen and say one call, that's all. That's, you know...
I appreciate still, his big bird billboards. Mark Smart always looked like a giant bird to me. Doesn't he? He makes me think of those guys from The NeverEnding Story, the bird people. And then when his billboards are bright yellow, it doesn't help with the whole bird thing.
It looks like he's trying to like put foundation on a cleft lip. His upper lip just looks so weird to me. I don't know why.
Oddly enough, though, for he's kind of like a cartoon character in this city. Take him more seriously than the mayor. For sure. you laugh.
I just want the special man to run for mayor so bad.
I think he's dead.
Oh, he's way dead. Yeah.
The special man's dead? I didn't know that.
Yeah.
He's got to be.
Benson made it to 90. Special man didn't look healthy. Special man didn't look healthy 30 years ago. But in on top of paying tribute to Tom Benson in our weird way, also threw up a picture of the Irish Memorial that people tend to forget about in the city out there on West End for St. Paddy's Day yesterday.
Oh, really?
Of all the Irish workers who did the new dug the New Basin Canal back in the 1830s, and apparently it was a very dangerous job because thousands of them died. And
I was wondering,
and it's funny in a time where slavery was still very much a thing, the 1830s. There's the Irish laborers out there getting killed, digging a canal. They have a nice little Irish cross memorial statue, though, over there.
It's an unsung part of American history. I mean, not to say that it's any worse than American slavery, but, I mean, like, it happened.
Isn't that a running thing with Irish people, the Irish sadness, the sorrow? They have that?
Well, it was real. You know, you helped build the canals. When you die, they threw you in the canal. I mean...
Made sense to me. And then they got rid of the canal in the 40s. Mm-hmm. Oh. So, yeah, that stretch over there around West End, I guess where the canal was, is haunted by a lot of dead Irish.
Yeah. There's another thing that's haunted, too. The new...
I thought for sure you were going to say D's
Nuts.
No.
I thought it was going to be D's Nuts.
No.
It wasn't going to do it. Okay.
There's a Wendy's that is, like, they're saying it's haunted.
Wendy's Nuts?
Where?
When these nuts are in your mouth.
I knew it.
I was really excited for a haunted Wendy's.
Yeah, I know. I had to take it away.
No, seriously, but there is.
The pitch in Steve's voice changes
yeah,
when he tries to
like
do a
Wendy's,
D's nut
like,
joke.
No.
You can telegraph he's doing it.
I'm the worst.
It's like when a watching comedian, you know he's going into his closer.
Yeah.
It's the same thing. So predictable.
We saw Joe Rogan on Thursday.
How was the Joe Rogan
so
show?
So fucking funny.
That's the funniest. That's the loudest I've ever laughed in my
life.
Did you come out of that feeling dumber?
No.
I just being like Joe Rogan always hits you with all the different things he's into, and then you just come out feeling like a loser.
Come out feeling dumber, like I'm not that smart,
or just,
yeah,
I'm not that interesting or active,
right,
or
a little bit.
Yeah,
yeah,
I guess so. Because he said everything he said was original.
Of
it was original stuff, and it's so funny. And his opener was he could have headlined somewhere.
Oh yeah,
Tony, what's his last name?
Hinchcliffe.
Tony Hinchcliffe.
He was great.
He could have opened somewhere. He had one of the funniest bits I've ever heard in my life, and I told you about it. But yeah, Joe.
I wish the comedians more often when they came to town would like go out and party more. Here and you
See,
could like I, run into
like
him.
Bill Burr does, right? You say he's
yeah,
you ran into Bill Burr.
I would like to run into Rogan at a bar or something, but
yeah.
I feel like those guys just hotel,
well,
gig, fly
yeah.
out.
I mean, but like somebody like him, he's touring right now, so he's got to get back to California to do his podcast, you know.
All right. Well, rest in peace, Tom Benson, and I hope everyone is nursing that St. Paddy's Day hangover. We're gonna close down this episode of Nola Trash.
We didn't get into the Yeti coolers, but we'll get into that next week.
Okay, yeah. It's pending a full investigation.
So fucking funny. Ugh. So funny.
All right. Well, I'm the Prophet Joshua.
I'm Steve McJesus.
Shane O'Mac.
And this is real Irish rock music. See you later.
Check in and check. We're checking out everything. How this sound? Oh, nope. Oops.
Check, check, check.